Amen. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, he's able. Come on, y'all, tell your neighbor, neighbor, he's able, he's able. You ought to write it in the chat and declare to your brother and your sister, he's able, he is able, he is able. We're so glad you're here. So glad you decided to come to the place of promise for this worship experience. We're so glad today to have all the guests that's in the building, all the guests that's watching all over this diaspora. We do not count it. We do not count it. We do not take it for granted. We count it a privilege to be able to come and speak to you a word from heaven. And somebody said, Pastor, why do you have church on Saturday and not Sunday? Well, we're just doing what the Lord has us do at this time. But I tell you what, we not seven-day Adventists. We are seven-day evangelists. Where we just don't evangelize one day, another day, another day, another day, another day. But there will come a time. But there will come a time. And you be praying for us. We praying for you. Let's preach. The previous week, we celebrated the giving of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And again, these holidays that walk past us, we cannot so lightly just let them walk past. Because these meanings, whenever Jesus speaks of a specific holiday or specific time, there is angelic release to match the times. Whenever the children of Israel would do something for God and have a holiday, an angel would appear. And the angel would appear to let them know that you are in the right place, you are at the right time, and this is a marker. And this is a marker for you to know that God is with you. My brothers and sisters, so we have been celebrating Pentecost weekend over the last weekend, and we all enjoyed that. But I just, for some strange reason, God just would not let me leave this particular impartation and this particular encounter, Prophet. This particular impartation and this particular encounter. For the previous week, we celebrate the giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. God promised, Jesus promised a comforter in John 16 and 17. Jesus quotes, and Jesus said, and I quote, but I tell you of a truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby. Glory to God. I got to say that one more time. He says, for if I do not go away, the helper, you want to write that down, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, and the standby, all seven dispensations of the Holy Spirit. And those seven are, he is our helper, he is our comforter, he is our advocate, he is our intercessor, he is our counselor, he is our strengthener, and he's our standby. Thank you, Jesus. Will not, he says, this will not come to you, but if I go, thank you, Jesus, I will send him, who is him, the Holy Spirit, to you, and to be, he says, to be in close fellowship with you. Pentecost weekend is an appointment with God. Jesus gave instruction to them, go to the upper room and wait for an appointment of endowment. For what is coming to you is me in every way, in every detail, but not limited by my flesh. I'm going to give to you a perfect exchange, and all you have to do is keep an appointment. All you have to do is believe and follow my instructions. Go to Jerusalem and tarry there in the upper room. God wants to give you an appointment, and I am becoming fellowship. And I like these appointments. The text reminds me so much of God told Abraham. He said, Abraham, he called him Abraham, the father of faith. He told Abraham to leave and go to a place where I'm going to show you. I have a gift for you, but I need you to get to the place where the gift is. I need you to get to that place where I will show you. And just follow my instructions. Just believe in me. Just follow my voice. And Abraham got to the place and prepared an altar. Thank God. Remember the Holy Spirit told us that the altars ushers in encounters. Encounters makes rooms for impartation. Impartation delivers revelation. And when revelation is delivered, thank you, Jesus, you begin to see and hear what God is saying to this church. And also to you. He says, go there and wait for an impartation. So God told Abraham, Abraham, I need you to go to a place. And when you get to that place, the place is going to provide for you. Thank you, Jesus. A promise that I have in part, a promise that I have left there for you. My brothers and sisters, when you and I get to a place that God has given you, that God has given you and I a divine appointment to get there, he has an impartation that's waiting for you. It is a promise. To your neighbor, neighbor, I have a promise. I'm trying to do the very best I can. I have a promise. Can I express to you that there is divine appointments with your name on it? You want to look at your neighbor real good and say, neighbor, there is divine appointments with your name on it. Oh, you can talk to him today. Oh, you can talk to him. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Talk to him. Tell him, say, neighbor, there is appointments. There is divine appointments with your name on it. And these appointments is a scheduled interruption, to enter your life and give you an opportunity to partner with the plans and the purposes of God. These appointments in God have great significance. These appointments with God are great for your benefit. These appointments to God that I have discovered, that appointments are all they're very personal. To your neighbor, neighbor, I have a personal appointment with my God. Thank you. I believe, my brothers and sisters, that you and I somehow or another should develop a relationship with God that is personal appointments. In other words, I don't want nobody else in here with me and you. I want you to talk to me. I want you to download whatever you have to download to me, because appointments are set up for help. Oh, I said again, appointments are set up because I cannot do it by myself. I cannot render my own recipe of success. So I need divine appointments in my life. I need divine interruptions of appointments of God in my life. Why? Because when I get these appointments, oh my God, if I make an appointment with God, he's going to be there. And the best thing about it, he's never late. Oh my God, the best thing about appointments with God, he's never late. He's always on time, and he's always able, and he's always ready to hear your cry. He's always ready. Oh my God. Can you just imagine an appointment with God when God says, come on in, I've been waiting for you. It's a divine time, glory to God, a divine time for you to sit down with me and have a face-to-face, personal, thank you, Jesus, encounter. Because you and I, not only a person-to-person, face-to-face encounter, but when I leave, glory to God. And you know the thing I like about appointments is that appointments cost. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. When there's an appointment costs. That's why I set my appointment up, because I know when I get there, I'm going to have to pay, thank you, Jesus, the cost hallelujah, for an appointment. My brothers and sisters, the things with God are going to cost you something. It may cost me what, my time? It may cost me, oh, my God, a little seed? It may cost me something, but believe you me, whatever the cost is cannot compare to the gift which God wants to share. It may not be much. Oh, my God. It may not be much. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. But these divine appointments with God are made for encounters, are made for impartations, are made for revelations, are made to bring you out and to set you straight. And to not only set you straight, but to set you on a straight path to success. Because most times appointments, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I feel like running already. You got to forgive, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Appointments. Oh my God, I've discovered that appointments are necessary. I've discovered that appointments are personal. I've discovered that appointments are significant. Why? Because it's in those moments, thank you, where I can let myself down. I can reveal myself. And when I reveal myself unto God, when I reveal, he's able to do in my life what nobody else can do. He's able to look inside of me. He's able to have intimacy moments, intimacy appointments with God. Because when you have intimacy appointments with God, he sees you into, oh my God, you need God to see you. To your neighbor, neighbor, you need God to see you. You need God to see you. You need God, because I discovered that when he sees you, he sees his righteousness. He sees the Holy Spirit filling up the emptiness. And when he looks at you, he sees the blood he shed. I'm so glad he sees himself when he looks at me. You ought to know that I'm looking for a divine encounter. I'm looking for a divine impartation. I'm looking for divine revelation. I'm looking for, why? Because I have an appointment with God. I set up a long time ago. And not only have I set it up, I'm telling God, every Friday, meet me. Every Friday at 8 o'clock, I'll meet you. And know what? He'll be there. Every appointment you set with God. God, it's Wednesday at 7:30. I'll meet you at Wednesday at 7:30. Because I know if you, oh my God, all I got to do is show up and I know you will be there. But the thing I love about God is sometimes you are late for your appointment. Hallelujah. And he understands you being late. Sometimes things hinder you from getting to your divine appointment. But because he's on a schedule, sometimes he'll squeeze you in to make sure you get exactly what you need. Have you ever been someplace and you had an appointment and they say, you know what, you're late, but guess what? You can be squeezed in just for a moment. I know I'm running over time and sometimes you gotta wait just a little while longer, but I heard the songwriter say, I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Why? The Bible says that those who wait on the Lord, he shall renew your strength and you shall mount over wings of eagles. Sometimes you're late for an appointment and you gotta wait a little while, but I don't mind waiting on God because he waited for me. Oh my God, he waited for me. Do you know God waited for you? Thank you, Jesus. Even though you did not show up, he waited for you at the door because he knew that sooner or later you're gonna be there. That by chance happened chance, you're gonna be there. And sometimes when you don't make your appointment, somebody else will sneak right on in and get what God has for you. And I'm gonna tell you, my brother and sister, you need to make sure that you make your appointments with God because you don't want nobody else to sneak on in and get what God has for you. An appointment with God are significant. Appointment with God, they are beneficial. The appointments of God are necessary, for it is in these appointments to receive the help for whatever you need. You've been keeping your, I got to ask the question, have you been keeping your Jesus appointments? Have you been keeping your prayer appointments? Have you been keeping your worship appointments? Have you been keeping your giving appointments? Have you been keeping your appointment? Because I have discovered that when you begin to miss your appointment somehow or another, your schedule, the schedule will change. And sometimes when the schedule change, you won't be on God's divine timing. Sometimes the schedule will change. If you keep missing your appointments, you're going to miss God's divine appointment, God's divine appointment for your life. But somehow or another, his grace will say, I'll catch you back up the next time, because God don't leave nobody out. I'll say it again. You'll tell your neighbors, you may have missed last time, but God doesn't leave nobody out. God don't leave nobody out. Thank God. Thank God. For God, for these appointments are designed for help you get to your greater. For Jesus says, greater things in my name shall you do. But in order to complete the assignment of greater works, in order to live in that declaration, in order to live in that announcement, you need to indwelling of the Holy Spirit and divine appointments to fine-tune your instrument that strikes the chord of righteousness and love that leads men to Christ and help you stay in the providential care of God, because it is in these divine appointments that God says, I want to give you, now you had the encounter, now it's time for the impartation. Because the divine appointment says, I'm going to give you a impartation. To your neighbor, I need, oh my God, I feel like running just the right now. Your neighbor, I need God's divine impartation, because it's in the impartation that I'll receive a new me. It's in the impartation that my eyes will become open. It's in the impartation that I'll hear something that can change my life. It's in the impartation that I'll begin to build, thank you, Jesus, I'll begin to build a relationship with God that is so strong and that is so needy. Oh my God, yes, I'm not afraid to say it. I'm needy. I'm needing God. I'm needy for God. I need him every day, every hour. Good God Almighty, I need him. I need him like a water is wet. I need you. To your neighbor, I need him. I need him. I need him. I need him to fine-tune my instrument that will lead me to stay in the providential care of God. And when we are all together, the Bible says in Acts 1 and 8, he says, and when they were all in when they were all together in one room, there is something about the power of togetherness. And I must throw this in because I'm almost finished. There is something about the power of divine togetherness. Jesus had given them an instruction, and they were not. And notice that when he gave them the instruction, they were not jockeying to see which one could be the first in the first seat. They were not jockeying to see which one was going to lead the praise and worship. They were not jockeying to see which one could have the best seat. They're not jockeying to see what I have on. They just knew God gave them an instruction, and the instruction was get to the upper room. Go to Jerusalem and get to the upper room, because when you get to the upper room, it doesn't matter if you're in the back row. It doesn't matter if you're in the front row. It doesn't matter if you're even in the middle. Whatever, it doesn't really matter, because when you're there, you're just thirsty enough to have the pour of God upon your life. And God was telling the disciples, I need you to get to the upper room, because if you're thirsty for this thing that I have for you, you're going to get an impartation that will fill your thirst, because I want to pour upon you. It doesn't matter if I'm in the front, pour on me. If I'm in the back, pour on me. If I'm at the back table, pour on me. Lord, all I want to do is get to where you asked me to get to, so I can unlock the pour of God upon my life. There's something about the power of togetherness right there. Right there. It doesn't matter to me if I'm in the front, because as long as we're together. It doesn't matter to me if I'm in the back, as long as we are together. It doesn't matter to me if you're leading the song, as long as I'm together. Why? Because the risen Lord promised the visitation, and I'm so thirsty for the visitation. Oh, the song says, for your glory, I'll do anything. For your glory, just to be with you, my King. For your glory, I just want to be where you are. For your glory. So, Lord, please, if you will, please, if you will. I don't mind begging sometimes. Please, if you will, oh God, just give me the visitation of your glory. Because if I get a visitation of your glory, hallelujah. Oh, I just need 3 good worshipers. I just need 5 good people in the back row to wave their hands and come into agreement. Pastor, I just need a visitation of the glory of God. Because if I get a visitation of the glory of God, come on, lay your hands upon yourself and tell yourself, self, I just need a visitation of the glory of God, because if I get a visitation of the glory of God, all my needs and all my burdens, all my troubles, all my struggles, hey, will be, all my cares will be overwhelmed. It'll be baptized in the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as I began to read the text, because see, Acts 1 says, ye shall be a witnesses in a witness is one that Acts 1 and 8 says, it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. I like that particular text, because it says, you shall be my witnesses. First of all, a witness is one that is used to testify under oath. To your neighbor, I'm covered under a blood oath. I'm covered under a blood oath as evidence to say, I have seen it with my own eyes, and I have seen it with my own life, and I am here to testify of the truth and of this truth, and my life is in the balance just to testify of this truth. Thank you, Jesus. So when you are a witness to God, you are a witness there to do what? To testify up under a blood oath. Oh my God, I like that. I'm testifying under a blood oath. I'm loving God under a blood oath. I'm giving my life under a blood oath, because the blood oath will cover me. Oh, you know, if you haven't ever watched television before and you went to a court service, the first thing it says, can you put your hand on the Bible? And the reason why they ask you to put your hand on the Bible, because there is no other truth. There is no other truth. That's why the B-I-B-L-E is just the book for me. Why? Because the B-I-B-L-E is covered under a blood oath. That's why the enemy does not want you to get get acquainted with the word of God, because the word of God is covered under a blood oath. Oh my God. And that's what happens when you are a witness. You cover yourself under a blood oath. And this blood oath says, I'm testifying of this evidence. Thank you, Jesus, that God, hallelujah, bless his name. Oh, from glory. Oh, I'm getting ready to close just about right now. He says, I'm testifying under a blood oath. And this blood oath is an evidence to say that I've seen it with my own eyes. I just didn't envision it. I've seen it with my own eyes. And not only have I seen my own eyes, I can witness it with my own life that I am here to testify. And I'm testifying of these said truths with my life in the balance. Is there anybody that know that when they begin to testify of the truth of God, their life is in the balance? Oh, I'm getting ready to holler and scream just right here. Oh, you ought to write in the text, my life is in the balance. Come on, I need somebody just for a few minutes to write it down. My life is in the balance because my life is on display. My life is on trial. My life, glory to God, is on trial because I believe God. My life is on trial because I trust God. My life is on trial because he's given me, oh, my sweet salvation. I'm so glad to know that I'm saved. And that's why, before I go any further, is there anybody in the building who will say, I thank God that I'm saved. I thank God that I'm saved. My life is a testimony. My life is a witness. And my life is in the balance. What is the balance of life? The balance of life is that for the rest of my days, you ought to tell your neighbor, look at your neighbor real good. We're getting ready to go home. And I've been on this mic too long. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, for the rest of my life, I'll testify of the goodness of the Lord. Come on, turn to another neighbor and tell that neighbor, say, neighbor, for the rest of my life, I'll serve him for the goodness of the Lord. Tell your other neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm a witness. I have evidence that he is what he said he is. I have evidence that every time I look around, he keeps on doing great things. I have evidence that every time I needed him the most, he came through. I have evidence that just when I call him, he comes. I have evidence. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I got some evidence. Come on, tell your neighbor, I got evidence. I got evidence. I got evidence. I got evidence. Because one day when I was sick and I couldn't get well all by myself, I went to the doctor. They did the best they can. But when I got home, I got a word from the Lord. And that word is, be healed in the name of Jesus. I went to the doctor. And when I got home, the word was, be healed in the name of Jesus. I had some trouble. And the word was, be delivered in the name of Jesus. I had, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm a witness. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, the reason I dance, the reason I shout, the reason I holler, I'm a witness. Yes, I am. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I'm a witness. Ask your neighbor, the neighbor, are you a witness? Are you a witness? Are you a witness? Are you a witness? I'm a witness. I'm a witness. My life has seen it. My eyes have seen it. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. I'm a witness that he's been my helper. I'm a witness he's been my comforter. I'm a witness he's been my advocate. I'm a witness he's been my intercessor. I'm a witness he's been my counselor. I'm a witness he's been my strengthener. I'm a witness he's been my standby. I'm a witness he's been my help. I'm a witness he's been my keeper. I'm a witness he's been my healer. I'm a witness he's been my help. I'm a witness he talked to me. Oh my God. And he let me know I'm his own. I'm a witness. I praise him. But he's good. Tell your neighbor he's good. He your good. He your good. But I don't want to holler at you too much. I'm going to finish this another day. I'm going to finish the rest of this probably next week. But I'm a witness. I'm a witness. You ought to write that down. My life is a witness. Come on. My life is a witness. Come on, I need you to write that in the chat. My life is a witness. My life is a witness. And the reason why your life is a witness is God uses your story. When you meet somebody in the store, when you meet somebody any place, and you're having a conversation, you're on a bus, there's a conversation, in the store there's a conversation, your jobs is a conversation, even in their family is a conversation. And your conversation is a witness to say, you know, I may not be living in the Taj Mahal, I may not be driving the very best of cars, but I'm a witness that God has been good to me. I'm a witness that I've lived enough time that I could say, that I could understand what that scripture meant. When I was a little boy, I used to hear the little, I used to hear the kids couldn't wait to Easter Sunday morning service for them to all quote the Lord's Prayer. And they were so good at it. They were so good at quoting the Lord's Prayer. And they were all, but we were little boys and we could not understand at that time, but we made sure we had every word right. But now that I'm a little aged, and the little boy, when he quoted the word of the Lord, it sounded real good and it was real nice when he quoted it. But now that I'm of age and I can understand when it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It hits a little different when you this age. Because you begin to say, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And what I like about it, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. They prepare the table before me. In the presence of my enemies, thy anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because I am a witness. I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I've seen him do it. 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 For the Lord is, 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 the Lord is. We're so glad you joined us today. My brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that the Lord is. The Lord is. And the Lord wants to be the is in your life. He wants to give you something you've never had before. He wants to do something for you you've never had him do, never had seen before in your life. That's why the Bible continually tells us that he can do, that he can do, he can do. That just simply means that he wants to do it for you. I am so convinced that God wants to give to you. I am so convinced that God's whole intent is to give to you.